We're rolling.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
How's it going, you guys?
I don't know if you guys can...
Can you just use that voice for the entire podcast,
right? No. I can't do it because it hurts my throat.
Nah, I can't
if I talk like that for too long. So, I can't do that.
So, it's a Monday, of course.
Yeah,
like as always.
Usual. It's April Fool's Day, and I've been super paranoid, like, all day.
Like, trying to, like, get a prank on or whatever?
No, I'm very paranoid because I'm super gullible. Like, I like to think I'm not, but I am, like, really trustful of people. So, like, if people tell me things, I'm like, oh, yeah, really? And it's the worst holiday.
Last April Fool's, I said that me and Denise were having triplets, like a meatball.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And some people actually believe me. Like me having a kid, could you imagine?
Kids. Hey, I feel like we should pull a prank on our instructors, like for tomorrow.
Even I feel like they would pull a prank on us.
Gosh, like, I was like, or when like, Angela... said she was making pancakes for our group time today. I was like, do not say psych. I will fight you.
Oh, that was the one? Because I thought...
Oh,
did
no,
you guys
okay,
actually
you
get
said,
pancakes?
We did get pancakes. Oh. The pancakes were legit. But no, you said, okay. I'm dead.
Yeah,
and that's why I was like, please say psych.
Because, no, it's because... No, it's because, all right, so we have our meeting at 9:30, right?
Yeah, and all of us
and
were running
everybody
late.
Was late. And then Nate, at the end, he... Like, that's why I said I'm dead, because Nate was like, well, I don't want to feel left out, so I'm going to be late too. And I was like, I'm just dying, because, like, it was funny. But I thought you said psych to everybody.
Please say psych that you're all going to show up late.
Yeah, no, I thought that's what it was, but it was to the pancakes, now I know.
No, I had to laugh, because... Our friend Sierra called us all out, like, well, I'm going to be on time, like a responsible intern. And I'm just like,
put you guys to shame.
Let's go. I will fight you.
But anyways, guys, I don't know if you guys noticed, we're in a new spot.
Yeah.
Yep. New setup.
Eric's dad kicked us out of his basement. And we're moving up in the world. It's great.
No, but,
ow.
But yeah, I mean, I guess.
Another update. I'm back.
He's back from his
return from
his
the
world
woods.
Tour.
I was in the woods.
Oh, I thought you said you were going on a world tour, not to the woods.
I don't even have a career established yet.
Gosh. Hi, I found your SoundCloud, by the way.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not too proud of it.
I have yet to listen to any of it, but
don't
maybe I'll release that for April Fool's. This is definitely his official rap career.
That would be April Fool's. So I was like, psych.
Listen, the April music Fool's. Is not the best quality. That's the thing I'm ashamed of.
Oh,
because
it's the music, not your rap.
DIY. No. The rapping is okay, but the quality of it is not the best because I had to DIY everything once I moved up here from North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to record myself and all of that, and I was recording in a house, you know, just like
I see.
So. Yeah.
Dang.
Didn't have any swell acoustic soundproofing like we have.
Nope. Didn't have an engineer. Didn't have somebody like, hey, can you run that back? Like, you know, so no. Nope.
But yeah, so we're in a new spot. I mean,
I did not fart, by the way. That was just so you guys know. Anyway.
When our furniture is too high quality.
I know, right?
Yeah, you feel the leather.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like I'm going to fall back onto this one.
Yeah,
you see me fly.
We definitely didn't just scrape this together with stuff we found in the storage area while recording, and no siree.
Nope, not at all. Nope.
April Fools. No,
but yeah, we're blessed with having this spot. Honestly, it was like,
yeah,
it was kind of like unexpected. I think
really unexpected.
We weren't really looking for it. It was more like, hey guys, there's a spot that you guys can use.
I think it was the day we got kicked out of your parents' basement that we got this spot. Actually.
So grace of God, honestly.
Really.
Yeah. But yeah, so we are back for episode. Is this episode 8?
Yeah, it's episode 8.
Wow. Hi, that's been a fast 2 months.
I know, right?
Yeah, episode 8 of the ET podcast realignment.
Yep.
I don't think
part
we've...
two.
Part two.
Part two. Yeah.
Part two.
I don't think we've actually introduced ourselves yet, despite all our rambling.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm Piper.
I'm Trey.
And I'm Eric.
And we said that all out of order, because...
I got to throw everything off. This is just...
It's all good. No, but
it's not the ET podcast if a P that's not involved.
ET comes in.
I'm the peeing podcast, Trey.
Oh, yeah, you kicked me off. That's right. Last episode.
See, now I just think I run the show.
Yep. ETP podcast.
I do want to. I do want to acknowledge, though, that you guys did a really good job.
Thank you.
Of course.
And thank you for sharing your testimony, part of your testimony and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was deep. It was like, I wasn't expecting it, but thank you.
No,
again, if I'm going to have a platform to share, let me just hijack your platform, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, we already told you. This is your podcast as much as it's ours. Mm-hmm. So
it's I mean, and everything we do here is going to be like so raw. Yeah. Like so open and it's a podcast for everybody.
But what I love about the podcast being for everybody though is that we've gotten a lot of good feedback recently, and especially on the last episode, our friend Kathy sent in like this massive text message that I'm only going to read part of. But just bouncing off of what we had to say, she says, "I just wanted to say that your last episode really spoke true to me. My grandfather had suffered from depression for decades. He never opened up to anyone about what exactly was haunting him. All he wanted to do was be alone and get lost in his own regrets. Sadly, he passed away November of 2017 from leukemia. The doctors and his psychiatrist said that the loss of his will to live allowed his leukemia to quickly become terminal, therefore not allowing him to intervene fast enough. Not allowing them to intervene fast enough to save him. I guess for him, he never learned to forgive himself and the various mistakes he made. Your episode this week just reinforced in my life the importance of not only learning to forgive others, but most importantly, forgiving ourselves. Sadly, my grandpa never learned how to, but thank you for sending across the importance of forgiveness."
Dang.
So, again, it's a very deep and hard-hitting topic, but it's, like, pertinent to, like, what so many people experience.
Yeah,
so, it is. Deep. Man, that just makes you really think, like, to always, like, I mean, even Jesus himself said, like, his disciples asked him, so how many times do we have to forgive?
And he said, like, 700
70 times 7, 490 times as the grapes of wrath.
Right,
if you're going to be that ready to count each time that you forgive someone.
Dude, no, but honestly, that's like a new level.
But the thing was, like, I think it's not, like, throughout your whole entire time. Mm-hmm. It's, like, just that day alone.
Oh, see, I didn't even think about that.
So it's not like, you know, you only get 490 times to forgive, you know, otherwise, like, what happens after that? Like, no more forgiveness. But it's, like, more like on a daily basis, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, like, people do things to you on a daily basis that is, like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so, and that was pretty impressive because it's, like, being able to, like, do that every single day. I mean, first, you have to, like, I guess really check your heart and remove any pride from you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, you're just going to be living a life where it just, I don't know, like, so poisonous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I wanted to share last week, but I wasn't here, you know. I can personally, you know, relate to needing forgiveness or needing to forgive others also. I mean, I guess a lot of people know, I don't know, I've never had my father in my life. Like, the only time that I've ever met him, I was probably about 7, and the first time I talked to him as an adult was probably like the summer before I got married. And that was the last time I had talked to him until recently, because I was actually trying to reach out to that side of the family and stuff when I went back home for Christmas. And so I talked to him, and, you know, I was trying to meet up with him and stuff, but he, I don't know, it's some type of weird situation. But so for the longest time, I've needed to forgive him, and it's a continual thing. You have to keep doing it, because I find myself like, I forgive him, but then next thing you know, I say, like, if somebody brings him up, well, I'm like, this dude, like, or whatever, you know. So there's my father, and then my sister's father also, who was my stepfather at one point. But him and my mother got divorced, and I was abused. Me and my mother were abused by him. He never put his hands on my sister, though, because that's his actual child.
Wow.
I think, me personally. So I've definitely, I could forgive my actual father before I could forgive him. Like, I'm still struggling with that, and I'm 27 years old. And this is something that happened around the same time, you know. So I was like 7 or 8, whatever, when all this stuff was going on. So, I mean, forgiveness definitely is important because, I mean, that's a prime example right there. And, I mean, you know, and I need to be forgiven. So it's like I should definitely forgive him. But it's just, it's such a hard thing to you know, move on past, because it's like, when you're sitting there, you know, you're abused, like, you're, like, I don't know if he was, like, trying to make a man out of me or whatever, but, like, slapping me upside the back of the head, stuff like that, you know, calling me stupid, like, just saying, like, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, whatever. But, yeah, I figured I'd just share that with you guys.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy to me how, I don't know, I also kind of grew up dealing with some domestic abuse issues. Like, in high school, there was, like, a week where I did not feel safe living in my home because I had been knocked around by my dad. And it's always, I don't know, surprising to me, like, how much, well, I guess how much that really affects a person.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't think that it, like, messed me up as much as it messed me up.
Right.
Until we had a class with Pastor Margie last year, and she was talking about how everyone has issues with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for me, it brought up things that I thought I was over, that I thought I had forgiven, but hadn't actually.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the tricky thing about situations of abuse, of manipulation, of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, it's something that affects your soul in such a way that, like, even though you think you're past it, even though you think you've moved over it, even though you think you can still be reconciled, like, you think you are reconciled with that person, even. Whether it's, like, a father-to-child thing, or if it's, like, in a romantic relationship, or even in your friendships, because there can be abuse and manipulation and toxicity like that.
That's right.
Just friend to friend.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's weird.
That it cuts resurfaces so deep, you know? At random times. Like, you would think it's like things that you don't even think are triggers end up being triggers. It's like it could be the most random thing. I can't even put, you know, say an example, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah.
Dang, I feel like it's been going deep.
I know, like, straight out the gate.
No,
like,
I didn't even
intend to do it.
No,
which sharing your, you know, part of your testimony,
which is great, because I mean, that's really all about. I mean, being able to, like, see that, even though, I mean, because I feel like us as Christians, like, there's, like, in the world, there's a picture painted that we're, like, perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but like not. But we have just regular things that happen to us, same things that probably happening to somebody else out there. But us being able to share that and being able to show, like, the progression of, like, being in a position of, like, you know, having not been able to forgive or having terrible things happen to us, but, like, being able to show that there is a way out and how we're able to move on forward from it. Because a lot of people out there, they don't have that how can I say, that support from others, so they still live day by day just feeling bad, and not just feeling bad, worse and worse and worse.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and being able to just be clear with each other and being open, I feel like that's impactful for, like, people out there, and even people watching out there, Christian, non-Christian. I mean, there is a way out, and with our experiences, want to help other people. You know, being able to do that, because, I mean, there's, like, especially out there, there's people that don't move on from it.
No.
Well, like, with what Kathy shared about her grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, again, it always blows my mind how, like, God orchestrates, like, our topics, too, because we were talking about how things can affect you, spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. Yeah. And it came up in class again this week. And it was just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and it's bad because it leads to all this, like, negativity and all these things going on.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, even just, like, with things that we see, like suicides and stuff like that,
yeah.
is because, like, people have no way out. And the only way out for them is just, like, okay, I guess it's going to end my life.
Right.
You know?
And it's unfortunate that it comes to it, you know? Like, it really is. Like, they're literally, mm-hmm. they feel like there's no other way to go, like, mm-hmm. at all. Like, but, all... exits are sealed, you know, like everything, like it's just I'm done. I'm finished, you know.
Yeah, like that example I put, I think it was like two, like what was it,
the statistics,
no, it was like this example of this father of this family that he wanted to kill his family in order for them to like not live a bad life. But you never know. I mean, honestly, I feel like not being able to forgive or moving past that, like I think that is gonna, it plays a huge part in your daily life, especially when you grow up, because I feel that like if somebody doesn't learn to forgive, like let's say your example, and then you know you have kids, like the same is gonna move on forward, like to your next generation.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we see all these things, and that's the reason why things get worse from worse, because nothing changes, or nobody's there to actually help that person out to stop it there.
Right.
And then, you know, break that free.
Well, and it's like a matter of your perspective too, because if, I guess if you sit in and just, I guess, marinate in all the negativity,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have, like, anywhere higher to look.
Right.
You know, where's the hope in that?
Yeah,
exactly.
And when it comes to, like, sharing your pain, like, being open about sharing your experiences, your testimonies, that, seeing that you came out of that will, like, open someone's eyes to say, no, this isn't all there is.
Right.
There are ways up and out.
Right.
And it's about that perspective shift, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have articulate thoughts today. Like, I can get going. And
I mean, it is like you said. I mean, you have to learn to forgive yourself in order to move on forward.
Yeah.
Because you have to make that decision. But going back to my point again, it's like, how are they able to make that decision if there's nobody there to guide them?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know. So it's like.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It is sad because I'm sure, I mean, not just with Kathy, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there.
Definitely. I do want to say, back to the point that you were saying about people in the world and whatnot, I see Christians as people who just realized before them that they need help. They just acknowledged it quicker than people who are dealing with, you know, stuff from their past and their living and... you know, I guess doubt and all of these other things that factor in. So yeah, that's the only difference. I mean, as Christians, we're still just as messed up, you know, and we still need help. Everybody needs Jesus, honestly. I mean, so that's the overall, you know, fact. And so, yeah.
Well, and I feel like that's kind of what sets Christianity apart from a lot of the world's other religions, is that I guess all of the other religions that I've heard of are like looking at what you can do to make yourself better.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to Buddhism, it's all about you have to find enlightenment. And like
it puts all the weight on the servant or whatever.
Yeah, on the person instead of like on the deity, you know.
Yeah.
Or I guess Buddhism isn't necessarily like for a deity, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Christianity, it's like God saw us in our mess and wanted to scoop us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's honestly what I love so much about the church and what Christianity stands for as a whole. Like, it's based on love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where a lot of people get sidetracked, is like they forget in their hurt and their pain and their unforgiveness that we are still called to each other and called to love, you know?
Right.
And that's something. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, I have to constantly remind myself of that because, you know, there are days even, you know, working where I'm just like, because I am working with the public, so you deal with a lot of different people. Even though it's a church, it's still you working with the public. People have bad days. I have a bad day.
Right.
And so I have to try to remind myself, which I've kind of done a poor job at, of, you know, hey, this person might be having a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you're having a bad day, you shouldn't have an attitude towards them or whatever.
Oh,
you know, and stuff like that. So, and, you know, I mean, you just got to be conscious of that stuff. And I try to be, but it doesn't always work because I am human, you know. And I forget that sometimes, honestly. Because, like, and see, that's the thing that you were saying about religion. You can get in that religious mindset and you're like, I got to be perfect. I got to do
right.
No. I was actually listening to Keith Moore yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, you have strength in your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your strength, you know. I mean, as simple as that sounds, but that is a real revelation that some people need to have. I mean, I thought I knew that, but the way he put it is like, it's more of a command almost from Jesus, you know, and so you rely on his strength and not your own, you know. And I thought that was, you know, such a good revelation.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
To have, you know, or just a reminder too. It's always good to have that because it's very easy to get back into a religious mindset. If you're not conscious of grace, you'll be conscious of sin.
Yeah. So, I have to tick all of these boxes and so does everyone else. Right. So it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah. It holds us back, honestly.
It does.
Yeah. What I was going to point out is, like, you know, we talked about a lot about forgiveness and such, what do you think, because I want to bring this in a way where, like, people can relate to it, especially if people view or listen to, you know, our podcast and our viewers on YouTube. What do you think are some of the things that don't allow a person to move on forward? Because I was thinking about it, is like, I feel like a lot of people have guilt.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And think that it was their fault.
Self-hatred.
You know. And at the same time, is like, I feel in order for anybody to forgive anybody at all, they have to forgive themselves first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
But what are other things other than, like, let's say guilt that could make a person, like, not move on forward?
Like, once again, I can relate to this, self-hatred. For a long time, I hated myself. Now, that may have come from, you know, the issue with my sister's dad or whatever. But I did. I hated myself, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just I saw myself as a failure. I was always like, oh, you can't do that because, you know, you're not smart enough for it. And I'm telling myself this, you know, or maybe I'm just agreeing with the devil because, of course, he thinks that about me. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, you're right. And then it makes it seem like it's just me, you know, saying that about myself. But that's not the truth. That it couldn't be more far from the truth, you know. And I'm pretty sure there are people out there that felt, you know, or feel currently, you know, just like I did.
Right.
I think that has a huge factor too, because it's like, why would I forgive myself? I'll never be good enough anyway. You know.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong way to think about things and the wrong perspective to have.
Yeah. Right.
You know. So.
What do you think?
Well, I completely agree with you, Trey. That self-hatred is honestly such a big piece of what seems to be the culture lately. Like, all I ever hear anywhere is, like, self-deprecating jokes. Just people trashing on themselves and making light of how, like, small they feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's something that kind of makes me want to throw swings a little bit. Because I'm like, I treasure literally everyone. Like, even if I don't know people very well at all, I still see, like, their inherent value.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really frustrating to me when my friend CJ especially likes to just make fun of himself so bad. And it's like, do you not know how, like, talented you are? Do you not know, like, the light that other people see in you, but you're just trying to snuff it?
Wow.
Just, mm-hmm. like, because you think that's what's quirky and relatable. Like,
right. Yeah,
it's frustrating.
Yeah, and, like, I feel, because I was looking into this, I mean, I guess this is more like, well, actually, I was looking into my notes, and I searched forgiveness, and it brought to, like, Pastor Margie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And, I mean, I feel like this could kind of relate. And the reason why I was trying to get at it is because, you know, I see a lot of cases, a lot of people, they hate themselves, they feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
Whatever, just so many things in themselves that obviously it has to come out some way. So they, mm-hmm. you know, who it infects everybody around them.
Hurt people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And... I mean, it's something that you see, like, I feel that especially, I don't want to get into this again, but whatever, we're going to go into it. So what we talked about last time, you know, like with, you know, sexually assaulted or whatever, I feel like sometimes, especially in that type of, I guess, topic, as a person that was harmed,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they try to do separate, like, different things in order to, I guess, feel better about themselves.
Deflecting.
Yeah.
Oh,
and, yeah. And I can see this, like, especially with, like, man, I don't know if I should get there, but...
It's the same thing. It's like, you know how kids, bullies in school or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like something's
yeah,
like, going on in their home or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then they come to school.
Right.
And they're like... squeezes out the sides. Yeah.
You know, it's like a I can say this because I'm kind of fat. I consider myself.
Oh my god!
It's like a fat person making fun of a fat person. So it's like you need to lose some weight. Oh, you do
really?
Too.
You
like,
too?
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, but you know. I mean, I see like a lot. Like I feel, especially for like.
No, you're not. I will fight you.
Speaking of self hatred, I didn't even think about that.
Boys.
Yeah.
No, but what I was saying, like I see this, like it's just different, I guess responses from either different genders, like for a male, for a guy, I feel that they try to do, or we try to do, how can I say, like, do things that would make us look more of a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm gonna drink so much, and because I'm a
overcompensation.
Man.
Overcompensation.
Yeah, and what or
makes you
I'm gonna
macho, yeah.
Right, or I'm gonna, you know, snort a lot of coke or whatever.
That would be my first, like,
no, I know. I mean, I'm saying because, I mean, I see this, like, especially, I follow some, you know, people on social medias, and that's how I see sometimes. I mean, it's just like, or like, you know, I guess hooking up with a lot of females or trying to see how many women he can get or whatever. And then for the female side, I mean, I can't really speak too much of it, but
mm-hmm.
it's like, I mean, I feel like sometimes, like, they... especially in social media, they try to show off, I feel like, their body most of the time.
It's like, what like, does the culture see as valuable?
Right.
Know?
That's
so
their,
they'll
that's
try
their
to
greatest
like,
asset, according to the
yeah,
culture.
They'll try
know?
To find their worth in
yeah.
the things that the
well,
world says are worthy. And it's
the culture.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what I was yeah. going to, with that, it jumped to, I mean, and because, like I was saying, like, however you feel is going to affect everybody around you.
Yeah.
So, one of the points that she made, the top reasons for breakups or any relationship at all, like just any relationships or even people getting fired, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 points. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them, but
yeah.
One of them was not getting along with people, blaming others,
mm-hmm.
and not taking full responsibility
mm-hmm.
For their faults.
Yeah.
No communication, obviously, that plays with it. Feeling responsible for other people's emotions and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's a big one, especially for like in females, because
yeah.
I feel like sometimes, like, a guy can manipulate a woman in order for her to stay,
mm-hmm.
and she feels responsible
mm-hmm.
to stay with that person, even though he treats her bad or
mm-hmm.
whatever, but she feels that it's the right thing to do to make him happy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or
it's like out of obligation
right.
instead
right.
of out of
right.
like
but
self-care, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's more of like a fear type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't hold responsible for anybody's emotions and feelings because everybody is on their own.
Yeah.
Right? But that was one. Let's see. Yep. So holding grudges, not forgiving people, not wanting to talk, holding everything inside. That's a big one too.
Yeah,
holding, bottling everything, and just always trying to fix somebody else rather than fixing yourself. Which are very valuable points, because eventually, if you are not, especially for people that like start dating, if you don't know the reasons why you date somebody and just jump in, I feel like all these things happen. Because you're not, like you said, hurt people hurt people. So I feel like it's very important, especially being able to, like, for an individual, analyze themselves and know where you are in your heart in order for you to move on with not just like dating, but I'm talking about friendships, you know, any relationships at work and such. I mean, I feel that that's a very important thing that needs to be addressed in a way, I guess. It's like I have like the responsibility, since, you know, we're in a public scene, being able to like first walk it, what we talk about, but at the same time, like trying to solve or trying to find a solution. Not find a solution. Obviously, we know what the solution is, but being able to like, how can I say it? Like,
well,
give out the answer to those who don't know.
Well, it just makes me think kind of that Billy Graham documentary we had to watch for class. Was like, how do you walk in love? Like, what does walking in love actually look like? And it's, whether it's like on a grand scale, like him and his crusades and like all of the other like humanitarian work he did, it's like, how do you walk out what you're talking about? How do you walk the walk when you're talking the talk? And it's just, especially with relationships, that can be such a tricky thing, and it doesn't have to be. You know, it's like we're so caught up in our own motivations, our own efforts, our own whatever, that we don't evaluate like how it could affect others. And I feel like that's where you run into all of those relationship issues that you listed there. And it's really interesting to me.
Like, I was like, because like what we talked about, like at the end, like we were just ranting on the church, like we're just like, and I feel like it's our responsibility, because it's like we hold the key to success, DJ Khaled. but it's like, you know, we have to be able to give that hope and go and reach out to those people. I mean, he did amazing things, but like, for me, do we see another Billy Graham?
No.
And like,
not on that scale.
Not on that scale. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like very influential, that like he was the only dude flying out in a plane in 9/11. You know, like, that's how important it was. Let me
be very clear too. I was completely ignorant. I had never heard of Billy Graham until I started coming to this church. So I didn't know all of that stuff. Oh, I mean, I didn't. I've only been saved since 2015 anyway, so anything that was church related before then, I didn't care about anyway. But to see all of the stuff that he did, the influence that he had, all of those things, like, it's amazing. And I think he is a perfect example of how Jesus was. Because every person that was in that documentary, they always said he was always there when we needed him. He never judged us. The mission was always the same. He always preached Jesus no matter what. You know, he never, like, put the spotlight on himself. You know, but, I mean, God put the spotlight on him. You know, but he never, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to be selfish and I'm just going to take this for myself. He always pointed the spotlight right back at him.
Well, and that's the craziest thing to me, is that he just majored on Jesus. And it makes me think, what if we did the same? What if we got back to the basics? Like Pastor Jamie was saying, forgetting all the accessory lifts and just doing squats. Getting back to what we gotta do.
That is so true. And like, the thing that impressed me a lot with it, I mean, and I feel like this would be jumping in, because like I said, I just, like, with these episodes that we're doing, I want to be able to, like, obviously be exposed, like us just showing how authentic we are in a way, like, you know, we even have things, being able to, like, you know, narrow down like the issues that cause forgiveness, not forgiving in the yeah. side effects that it has. But yeah. now going on, it's not about the other people. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. I feel like we as like Christians and I guess type of being influential is our responsibility to go out there and save people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And going back to Billy Graham, like the most impressive thing that for me, it was him being in secular shows where all yeah. he talked about was just like,
yeah.
no matter what they said, he would always curve it back to, hey, this is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it didn't change nothing
yeah.
from it. It was and, just going back even, to it.
He joked with him and stuff, you yeah. know, and it mm-hmm. but he didn't do it in a condemning way, or he didn't say, you know, like,
right.
Well, you need to hurry up and get right, you know, well, or whatever. No. Like he like never did that.
The mm. boldness it takes to stick to what you stand for.
Yeah.
Even when you're not, like, in your church bubble.
Right.
And that's something that yeah. I aspire to do on the day-to-day is, like, I want to be the same person in this building and out of it. And I want right. to be someone who people can look to and know exactly what I stand mm-hmm. for.
Right.
You shouldn't have to tell people that you're a Christian.
Honestly.
They should just sense it.
They should, yeah.
Even
yeah.
if they're not in tune with their spiritual senses and stuff, they should just sense it. They yeah. should be able yeah. to pick up on it.
It should be a light that just radiates out of you yeah. without you having to say a word.
That's yeah. right.
And that's, I don't know. Again, the to say it, I guess the balls that Billy Graham had and to say to stand by his guns.
Yeah.
Like, even, gosh. Okay, so the thing that blew my mind was that he was, like, working in tandem with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as yeah, the civil rights movement was unfolded. I didn't even,
like, correlate right. that.
Gosh, like, well, it just kind of, like, for me, brought a lot of that into the present.
Yeah.
Because right. I feel like, because it's so black and white in all of our textbooks, you don't really think about that as such a modern problem. Mm-hmm. You think, oh yeah, the civil rights movement, that was all the way back in the 60s. Like, right. it's old news, it's old history, but
it
like...
It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
Honestly.
And like, I don't know, it just blows my mind to hear like the influence he had mm. in just even such that polarized time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The story about him at his rally where they wanted it to be black section, here's the white section, mm-hmm. it has to be segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went and took the ropes down himself to bring everyone yep. together because we are all meant to be one.
Yep.
That's
like, who would have the balls to do such a thing today?
Right. Well, back then, well, yeah, yeah, back then it was like crazy thing.
But
yeah.
like, and to have that kind of right. radical faith.
Right. And that's something that has to be shown, especially now in our generation, because mm-hmm. I feel like that was more back in their generation, but how are we able to implement that?
Yeah, we now? Just want to be comfortable because, with like the yeah, things of the world.
Because honestly, I feel like most of the problems are still the same.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just in a different...
They are.
Just like the, in a the different
Bible
way.
Says there's We're nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Huh?
The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
So,
so it's like being know. Able to take the stance for it, like, and being able to change... I feel like that's our responsibility, and mm-hmm. that's something that we need to do, yeah. especially like even this, like this little stuff that we're doing with the podcast. I mean, I honestly want this to like grow more and more.
Yeah.
And even the opportunity that we have here, being able to influence people to just mm-hmm. get more people in, even, I don't know, man, just go big. You know what I mean? Probably yeah. like in yeah. MTV or whatever.
Well,
but because I mean, really
cares about MTV. You know,
wait, honestly. What? Or whatever.
We're already on the biggest platform of the world. We are here on the World Wide Web, on the internet.
That's, I mean, that's right. No, but yeah, we like, I mean.
Network.
Yeah, and it's just.
I don't want to be on CBS.
I want to be on
Go
the
on,
CW.
Continue.
No,
we can.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's okay, because, I mean, I feel like, you know, we can push it more into our, I guess this could be like a little inside of our third and last episode, being able to. What are the steps that we need to take in order to reach as many people as we can and yeah. heal as many hearts as we can?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, in a way, I mean, even though we didn't go too much into depth with, you know, self-hate or guilt, I mean, but we pointed out the stuff that really bothers people or, like, mm-hmm. the things that they're struggling with. But now it's, like, how are we able to take that and find a solution mm-hmm. to this, in a way, I guess, crisis, because a lot of people are suffering.
Yeah.
You believe it or not. I mean, and I see that with, like, a lot of people that, like, go out. There's this coworker at work. Hopefully she doesn't get mad, but whatever. But I always tell her, I mean, she's so young. She's probably, yeah, I think she's 19 years old. But every single weekend, she's always, like, going out, getting drunk, and just, you know, just doing whatever mm-hmm. she wants. And I feel like that's very harmful, and I kind of know the reasons why. I'm not going to go into debt with it, but I feel like that's the reason, because it's just, like, that's the only way that she can use to hide the pain that she has in herself, or, like, the pain that others cost her. Even though I tell her every single day, look, do this, do that. I mean, sometimes, like, you can say, but, you know, the devil has them so blinded and, you know, that they can't really listen or comprehend that, hey, look, I am actually messing up. I want some change.
Because that's supposed to be, like, the status quo according to the world.
To the world,
that's what you do at that age. But it doesn't have to be like that. Yeah. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah,
but,
because and even a lot of people depend on that stuff. Like, even smoking weed, like, oh, I need smoking weed to de-stress me out, or to, you know, at least find. And that's the only way they find. But if we're able to, like, share that, hey, look, you can follow him and just trust in him and have him, like, just have them experience the true forgiveness that he has for you, I feel like that's going to break a lot of chains. But it's like, we need to, like, show that. Like I said, we don't have to say that we're Christians. You just got to sense it. Even our presence in those places, it can change a lot of things.
Definitely.
But,
Well, this is going to be a bit shorter of an episode because I have to get to a meeting. But we have a lot to get into for episode 3 next week, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a longer episode.
Gosh, it's going to be, again, probably another deep cut, but I promise we're going to get back to, like, the lighter stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. After part 3, we'll get back to the more easygoing stuff.
And I mean, this might be a little bit off, but, I mean, this is our new setup now. We actually had an audience. I don't know if you guys know.
Oh, yeah. But you probably heard our buddy, Annie, just kind of giggling a few times.
So I mean, like I said, that's the what we're trying to do. I mean, it'd be cool if we had, like, an audience, like, with chairs, and, like, that'd be so dope.
Hello, we would be a talk show at that point.
On the swivel chair.
We would be a talk show.
Yeah.
Hey, it's almost the same thing, right? Podcast, talk show.
Yeah.
I am really.
I feel like there's restraint on talk shows, though.
Gosh, I feel like once we're on the other side of our realignment series here, we get to have our first actual guest who's not just me.
We are having our first official guest on episode 11.
That's true.
That will be dropping on the 25th of this month.
Yeah. And also, we've been promoting Mexican drinks. So.
The Jarritos.
Oh, we've been.
Our Mexico, okay, Joe in Mexico.
Yeah, hecho en Mexico. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Once again, sorry for such a short podcast, but
I'm sure that
I mean, it's good to have different times and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, maybe one day we'll go up to, like, 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you guys can hear me talk for 3 hours.
I'll hold the podcast down by myself for 3 hours.
All right. I'll fall asleep right here. No, I'm just kidding, but.
What about our second year sermons? I'm just saying. We have a lot to talk about.
That is true.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, thank you very much. You guys are awesome. Stay fresh, even though Pip walked out the tube, but
she's back.
Peace. Stay fresh.
Stay dope.